Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. I don't know if we're having technical difficulties tonight or if the internet's just not loving me today. It's Facebook, I can get on it, but I can't get on my personal page due to an update, so hopefully they get that fixed real soon. You know, tonight is a really, it's going to be a heartfelt interview for me, as this gentleman is a tremendous aspect of the sport in his own right. What he gives back to the fighters is tenfold. The way he presents himself in his walk is truly humble. And it's a true honor for me to call him a friend. With that being said, welcome Harley Papa Bear Riddle. How you doing, brother?
Big Don. Hey, buddy. How are you, man?
You know, stressed out as always, but hey, you know, in this business, as you know, if you don't go, you're going to get left behind, and I surely don't want to be that individual. You know, I kind of want to touch a little bit, and I don't want to touch too much on it tonight because I believe things are, you know, sometimes best left in the past. But I'm going to kind of reference Jacob Stitch-Duran as he was on my show just the other night. And we kind of talked about this, and I kind of got brought into it a little bit by Michael. But, you know, how disheartening was it, or do you feel that, you know, the ICA is big enough to overcome some of the minute details or incidents that occurred in Athens, Greece?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me back on, brother. I do appreciate it. Athens was an experience, you know, and sometimes the best growth comes from pain. Now, just for a little background, the World Hand Wrapping Championships this year was held in Greece, in Athens. Mikalis put it on, and he did a fantastic job. I mean, it was superb. But the brass tacks of it is, unfortunately, the judging kind of got a little bit messed up, and the crew winners were not divulged at the time because of the math. But nobody planned that. Nobody intentionally messed with anyone, and unfortunately, some of the members got upset because they thought they should have been top three. I had a few of them reach out to me and say, I can't believe you didn't get top three. You know, I was competing against the best in the world. And yeah. I was shocked, sure, that I didn't place. But, you know, it was literally that. I didn't want to get angry. I didn't want to be bitter. So I waited to see what happened. And as I expected, the process of the judging sort of went askew. But you know what? That's something we learned from. I mean, it was only the second time we had that competition. You know, the first one was back in 2014, and Adam won it. And this time, Nilo won it, but it was Roland who was declared the winner. Now they've exchanged the trophies back. You know, they've got it all fixed. But the problem is that some folks were still a little bitter. So we're all trying to put it behind us. And as soon as everybody can understand that, it happens, you know. And it wasn't a personal attack. You know, the fact, and I told you this before I even went. Whether I win or lose, I've competed against the best in the world, and I am tickled pink. I really am. I truly had a great time. And Jacob is correct, you know. It's a step forward we have to take as a group. Now, the question about the ICA, are they strong enough? I think in the long run, this will make them stronger. People need to communicate if they want things a certain way. You can't just be a part of a group and not participate. What's the point? You know, nobody's a diva. Nobody is above anyone else. You know, it's a democracy. I've put a bid in to bring the championship here to Kansas City in 2020. And I spoke with Federico, and he says he thinks it's a great idea, but he's going to put it to a vote. So right now, the two locations that are in contention is Kansas City, Missouri, and Rome, Italy. Now, realistically, probably Rome is going to win, if for no other reason than the fact that 46 of the members are over in the European area and other places besides the United States, and we have 19 here. So, you know, regardless, I plan on being very involved in the organization of it and the discussion of the rules, and I'm going to keep as many bodies involved as possible because it's a growing experience, and it was great. It really was.
See, what you took away from it is what everybody should have took away from it, bro. You know, it's just like, but, you know, I've been in those situations, and, you know, I'll speak hypothetically or ironically, I guess is the better way to put it. Hell, Steve Harvey, you know, named the wrong Miss USA during a pageant. You know, crap happens. But
yep.
The statement that was so profound and that everybody is really missing out on that was involved it was the best of the best in the world. You know, when you get put into a classification like that, it gives you justification. And that makes people happy. So they go back and they do their jobs that much better. So in the end, if you really look at it as just being justified being there, and you're going to come back and, you know, do your job better, so what happens there? The sport gets better. The fighters
exactly.
get taken care of better. You know, it's
yep.
a win-win. So, you know, putting the whole thought of the situation behind us is tremendous. But the thing that inspires me about you, and the reason I had you back on my show, one was because I think I had our mutual host the last time, and I just wanted to sit down one-on-one with you. But this road that we're on, you know, whether you being a cut man or me being part of the inner workings, it takes a unique type of individual in life. You know, what I know you were a medic or, all you know, all aspects of it, but when you sit down and you just look at what's the real reason that Harley Riddle gives his life to this sport, what would that reason be?
Well, let me take you back a little bit. Way back in the 80s and 90s, they had this thing called Tough Man. I competed in that for a little while just because I wanted to try it. And I decided to get out of it early because I didn't want to get permanently injured. And I seemed to be the only sober one fighting at the time. So it just, you know, didn't seem like a fair competition. But I stayed with different types of training, and I learned how to work cuts, how to wrap hands. And back in 2011, I believe it was late 2011, at the Ultimate Blue Corner event at Harris Casino, this young man had nobody to take care of him, no corner, no anything, and he needed his hands wrapped. So I was like, okay, tell you what, I'll wrap you up, but then I have to get back to what I'm doing. He goes, no problem. So I wrapped him up, and another guy saw it. He goes, hey, can you wrap me up too? I was like, sure, and it started to click that my niche was not in the logistical side of things, filming, making discs, you know, helping promotion, stuff like that. That's just not me. But I started helping the fighters, and it felt better. So I stayed with it, kept going. And it started getting more and more personal. I started meeting these fighters, you know, and seeing them talking to me, reaching out to me, hey, Papa Bear, I did this, hey, Papa Bear, I did that. And it was great. I loved it. It was getting really good. Then in 2015, I almost died a couple times. My heart went bad. In a nutshell, I had a quintuple bypass, 3 stents, 3 angioplasties. And a lot goes through your head when you're sitting in the hospital looking at your chest that has been cracked open. Your heart has been pulled out. You were living on a machine for 3.5 hours while they rewired your plumbing. Got to thinking about it. Okay, what can Harley do? What can Papa Bear do? You know, I've been given a second chance. What am I going to do? And my first thought was, I'm going to affect as many people as possible in a positive way as I can. You don't have to be rich to do it. You don't have to be mega powerful or super popular. One person can help one other person, and that can spread like a virus. If you keep a positive attitude, if you keep moving forward, if you keep just not giving up, if you try your hardest and you fail, then you still won. If you half-ass it, then you never deserve to win in the first place. So
amen.
I keep helping people, you know. I just keep helping. I keep moving forward. And it got started getting bigger. And all of a sudden, it's a tidal wave of different people who are like, hey, I saw you do this, so I tried this and that, and it helped out so-and-so. So it's a movement. And I'm glad that it doesn't. That movement doesn't have my name on it. That movement is humanity. That movement is faith in humanity. You know, I used to have a hashtag called Find a Way. I would put that on everything. You know, find a way. You know, and if I can find a way to help somebody, then I will. But anyway, sorry, didn't mean to get off on a tangent there. As I moved forward and started getting better and better and better at hand wrapping, it started to become more of a calling, because that is the best way I can help a fighter, is to protect his hands or her hands, make them confident in what they're going to do, and let them realize I'm going to be proud of them whether they win or lose. Because some of them don't even have that in the corner. If they have that, they fight that much harder, and they come out that much better.
You know, see, a lot of people understand the sport, and a lot of people just in life and in general, I think they can correlate to with what you said. But, you know, I've been in this business just a little bit of time now. And,
just a minute or two, right?
Yeah, you know, but it's so much more than that. And I hate to put you on the spot, but I told you I was going to get to the heart of you and let my listeners see who you are. You know, there's a great man that I consider my brother, my blood brother in life, and that it's one we already talked about, and that's Jacob Stitch-Duran. You know, he's been on my show a multitude of times, and, you know, I asked the man one time, I said, out of all the special moments you've ever had, what special moment really touched you? And we go back to O2, you know, arena at Wembley in the UK, and he talks about at the end of the first round when he comes in there with Vladimir Klitschko, he looks at him and he says, you can call me son. Then the next time I have him on, you know, he talks about Fedor giving him his jacket. And then the last time we had him on, he talked about how this fighter, in the midst of losing a fight and having a tremendous war, looks up at him and says, hey, happy birthday. When you look at the life of Harley Riddle, which moments truly have not just made you feel better about who you are in the sport, but truly changed you as a man, as an individual?
Well, in the MMA world, there have been a few. There have been times when fighters have woke up and the first thing they see is me. And that's usually a pretty good sign that they've lost and I'm trying to make sure they're okay. Well, one time I was at a fight, and this fighter, his first fight, he did a very high head kick, knocked the guy out, knocked the soul out of him. I mean, guy was dead cat before he even hit the canvas. And he just lost it. He was so excited that he had won. He was jumping, and you know how excited fighters can get. Well, I stopped him. I said, hey, check on your opponent. And he went and checked on him, and I said, there's a thing called ring etiquette, okay? You need to learn and understand. And at first he didn't quite get it, but then afterward he's like, I know what you're talking about. Can you explain it to me? And that clicked to me that I knew these things, and there's a young up-and-coming fighter who just you know, had just basically took somebody's soul out of the cage. And he didn't realize that there was more to it than just the fight. There's the after the fight. There's the before the fight. You know, there's the relationship that correlates between fighter and fighter once they've fought. And it touched me knowing that I had this knowledge and I was about to pass it on. And so I did. I passed on everything I could. And then later he reached out again. And we talked some more. His next fight, he had ring etiquette. He won in fantastic fashion. And he went and checked on his opponent. Fine. He was a very mature fighter. He, you know, of course got excited. He had used what I taught him. And that touched me. I was very happy with that. I was very excited about that. Another time, it was two ladies fighting. And one of them was just scared to death when she sat down in my chair. I could see it in her eyes. So we started talking about different things, her kids, her husband, you know, try to get her relaxed. We got her hands wrapped. She goes, man, my hands feel like stone. And I was like, yeah, that's the way it should feel. I said, can you move them? She goes, yeah, it feels great. And I slapped the top of her hand, like I always do, to check the knuckles and make sure there's no, you know, no problem. And she's like, oh, my God, this feels so wonderful. I was like, okay. So I just, you've done the hard part. Now it's time for the fun stuff. It's time to go fight. And she's like, all right, yeah. And she went in and she won. And she came back. She jumped up. Was bouncing off across the cage. And she came back over to me and she said, Papa, you were right. I love you. And I wrapped her arms around my neck and just gave me the biggest hug you could imagine. And coming from a 125-pound kid hugging a 265-pound guy at the time, I mean, it was cute. It was like, you know, oh, okay, little one, you know. But she about squeezed my head off that time. And then I realized, you know, I helped it positively affect her. That sticks out in my head, you know. And I'm looking forward to a lot more moments like this. I refuse to give up. You know, I'm going to be on my deathbed and I'll be like, wait a minute. When's the next event? I can be there. One thing I want to share real quick. I had in May of 2015, I told you I had my surgery. I had it on the 18th. I was released from the hospital on the 21st. I had my anniversary, May 26th, and worked an event, Shamrock FC, May 27th, I believe it was. I didn't miss the event. 6 days out of the hospital, I was there for my fighters.
See, that you know what? I know why we already know each other's health issues, so I'm not going to share that with the world. But, you know, that kind of reminds me of, like, when I had to have 10 feet of my intestine removed, a piece of plastic removed from my colon, my gallbladder removed, and my appendix and part of my spleen, and given a feeding tube all at the same time. And I look at the doctor and I said, you either sign me out or I'm going to walk out. And this is 3 days after surgery. And, you know I got Zach Cummings' fight to shoot, and they look at me and they, dude, you're fucking insane. I don't know what you're on, but you're not leaving. I said, Doc, I'm serious. Either you sign me out or I'm pulling everything out and I'm leaving. He goes, bro, you're supposed to be here for another 6 weeks. And I said, I'm not going to repeat myself. And he goes, I'll tell you what. And this is a young doctor. He's like 27, 28 years old. This man just saved my life. Okay, so I'm asking him to do the most crazy, ironic thing he's probably ever seen in his career. And he looks at me and he tells me, you give me and my two trauma surgeon members tickets to the fight, and I'll let you out of the hospital.
Bribery goes everywhere.
Oh, yeah, you know. But the reason he did this, he wanted to be there. You know, I shot this fight with 465 staples in my abdomen. Cut from my private areas to my sternum. And you make me realize why I did that. You know, it's a love that nobody can truly understand for this sport. You know, we didn't pick this sport. This sport picked us.
Yep.
So with that being said, what does it truly mean for Harley Riddle to know that when you walk out in those lights, that you've done everything you could to prepare the fighter and you're going to be there to take care of that fighter in that event. But what does it truly mean to you? What is your takeaway from that?
It's completion. It's vindication. Everything that I've been through in my life, I can bring and share and take care of these fighters. I mean, everything that I've been through, everything, even, I mean, from, you know, mouthing off to a guy and getting a beer bottle upside my head, getting stitches and a concussion, you know. Now I know what that felt like. You know, when I see somebody cracked open, I know what to expect. You know, I've seen the different things that happen to people. You know, I walk out there. I mean, some cut men, I'll be honest with you, all they care about is getting in front of that damn camera. I mean,
yeah,
that's
right.
All they care about. They want to get in the cage and be seen and show off their little patches. You know what? I'm sorry. This might be taboo, but I really don't give a rat's ass if I ever end up in front of the camera. I'm taking care of these fighters the best way I know how. Now, part of that is I will end up in front of the camera. I will end up, you know, being seen by thousands. I'm absolutely fine with that because I'm going to do my job just as if it was a backwoods show. I'm going to do it to the best of my abilities. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to treat anybody any less because they're an amateur and not a world champion. You know, everybody gets treated with the exact same amount of respect and love as soon as they touch my chair. They become one of my kids, one of my cubs, if you will. And it's completion for me, knowing that I did everything I could to make sure they were ready. I mean, the training, they took care of that. When they showed up, when those butterflies are in there, I got the butterfly net to take care of that. I set them down in my chair. I start talking to them. They realize this big fat guy in front of them loves them, and they're going to be proud of them regardless, you know? And it's just, it's completion. You know, it warms my heart to know that they trust me that much. It's humbling and grand and terrifying all at the same time. And it really is just a wonderful thing. And by the way, I meant to tell you, two more surgeries and you get a free set of steak knives. Just thought you should know that.
Right. Well, I went to the doctor today and I don't know, I got to do an MRI and a CT and some stuff, and we'll see where that goes next. You know, as we
know
my
ironic.
Last one. Yeah.
I had a doctor's appointment today too. And we went to Athens, right? Of course, you know this. Well, one of my pieces of luggage was lost. Like happens to a lot of people. No big deal. This one had my heart meds in it. And so when we got it back, the heart meds were missing. Actually, all the meds were missing. And I hope they don't try to snort that stuff because it'll just slow their heart down. But anyway, so I was 8 or 9 days without my heart meds. And I hadn't felt better in a long time. So I talked to my doctor today. And he's like, he asked me how I was doing. I told him, great. He says, well, you've lost 14 pounds, 12 or 14, and your blood pressure is 117 over 78. What did you do? I said, I stopped taking my meds. He's like, what? He got lost his mind, and I explained what happened. And he's like, well, you know what? You're on the right path. So stop taking these meds. Reduce these meds. You can get back in the gym. I'll see you in 6 months. That's a blessing because I haven't been allowed to work out in over a year. So good news comes.
Yeah,
you're going to get good news too, buddy.
I'm really honestly, I've been through so many of these damn things, I don't even worry anymore. When I had my last back surgery and at Thanksgiving, you know, I just got back from a UFC event. I sat down on the bed and about jumped through the roof and ended up having to have, you know, three different types of surgical procedures done. And 8 days later, I was shooting Invicta. And
There you go.
I just, well, you know what? I go back to my theory of my grandfather. You know, a dead horse ain't dead until it stops walking. And I ain't done walking yet. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people say that I've done a lot for the sport. A lot of people want to call me a lot of different things in life, you know, good and bad. But I don't accept accreditation on any of them. You know, what I've gained in this sport is family. It's a brotherhood. It's a sisterhood. It's people that can truly be there for you in life. You know this aspect. You know, it's, this show was based on giving back. So I truly understand the true humanity and who you are and how you are in your walk, because the sport is about giving back. So with that being said, when you look at your career and your path, did you ever realize that Harley Riddle was going to be the one that truly gave back and gave back with 110% of himself? Go ahead.
You know, ever since I was young, I've always wanted to be able to make an impact. I just didn't realize what that impact would be. You know, I wasn't always a positive person. I grew up being a real asshole. I mean, I tell people that now, they're like, oh, no, no, trust me. If you would have known me before I was 24 years old, you'd have been like, you'll never make 26. Because I lived wrong. I treated people wrong. You know, I'm definitely not perfect. You know, I've been a real ass to some people, and if I ever see them again, I will ask their forgiveness. Is it a requirement? No, but it's the right thing to do. But when I met Judy, my wife, she brought the best out of me, and then I realized I don't have to be a jerk to make a name for myself. I'll just start being me. So I started being me, and people liked the real me other than the fake me. So I just kept going with that, and it grew and it blossomed. You know, we had kids, we moved up here, and when my kids were in elementary school, I helped teach a group called YGLA, which is Young Gentlemen and Ladies of Anthony. It was an elementary school. I taught military drill. I taught them how to spin rifles, how to march, how to act proper. Yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You know, and most of these kids didn't have a father figure. They were mostly from the projects. But you know what? They got so good, the high school would not even compete against them. I mean, they just wouldn't do it. They're like, oh, it's not fair because they have an adult teaching them. Okay, last time I checked, an adult was teaching the high school students, but that's okay. That's fine. So for 4 years, I taught that, and it made me a better person helping those kids. So it just added on, just kept moving forward. Then I got back into MMA, and it kept adding on and moving forward. The positive influence that I try to be, the positive influence that you are, you know, that's your footprint. Not how much money you make, not how many autographs you sign, not how many movies you're in. Your footprint is what other people remember of you. Not what they think, but what they remember. If they remember you, oh man, that guy's an asshole. Yeah, that's your legacy. But if they remember, oh, that's Don McGuire. He has done so much. That's real, dude. Your footprint. It's not something that's unwarranted or unearned. Trust me, you've earned it. You've taken your licks. You've gotten your stripes. You know, own it. And when it comes to Papa Bear, it's simple. Papa Bear and Harley Riddle are the same person. Which one do you want? Because they're going to be the same. It's just the way I am.
That's the way you always have been. That's the way you always will be. See, you can verify something for me to my listeners and the people that truly follow me. People say that they don't come up and talk to me because it seems like I'm not the approachable type of person. People say that I never smile. How false is this, bro? I mean, cause,
that's a lie.
I mean, people really don't know. Am I?
Are they walking around with their eyes closed? I mean, you do have a serious look, and you get toward the cage, and you're taking pictures. But you are extraordinarily approachable. You know, I mean, they're intimidated to talk to me most of the time, until they talk to me one time. After that, I can't get them to shut up. No, I'm just kidding. You are approachable, Don. You just, some people have just got to get over their insecurities and take a step, you know, and you can't force that. You have to let them do it. Sometimes, well, Judy told me that when I get out of a car, I just sort of keep coming because I'm kind of broad at the shoulders, built like a bear. And it's like, well, I don't want people to be scared of me. So sometimes I'll actually lower my stature a little bit, or I'll approach them if they're looking nervous, and I'll try to get them out of their shell, get them to relax. You may have to do that. I mean, you know, you barely have time to breathe, so I don't know how you would, but, you know, you may have to just, you know, say, hey, how you doing? I'm done, you know, and they'll lighten up. But, yeah, you get serious, but, no, you're a smiler, no doubt.
Yeah, it's pondered me for many, many years, and it's been being brought up more and more, and it's like, maybe I'm seeing the same dawn. I don't know, but, you know, Papa Bear, since the moment I met you, you know, as this interview, you know, we got to wrap things up here in a second or so, but as your career, you know, as the time I jumped into it to the point I'm at it, and now I can only speak from that representation of who you are and what I've seen warranted in the sport. You know, there's very few gentlemen that I truly respect and will openly admit that I respect, and you're one of them, and you always have been since day one. You know, the attribute that you bring to the sport is second to none. The professionalism is the same. The love for the fighters, I mean, you guys treat these people like they're your kids, and you won't have it any other way. And I look at myself and I go, how can you define a man like that? Brother, there is no definition for you other than your gift from God. Same with all the other people that truly take the sport with the seriousness that you do. What you do is to be commended, because what most people don't know is we don't get paid jack shit for doing this. And it has to truly come from your heart and your deeply embedded soul. You know, it speaks very profoundly about you. You know, I'm going to give you an opportunity.
I appreciate that, but you know what? I haven't broke even since I started this. You know, if I was going to pay the money, then I definitely chose the wrong profession. But, you know, you humble me with your compliments. You have to understand something. I'm honored to know you. I don't use the term friend often, but I definitely consider you my friend. You know, that's a term I don't give out much. But you've showed me exactly, you know, who you really are. You know, you weren't afraid to tell me your problems that you had. And we've had that discussion in private, you know, and it just flabbergasted me that anyone could survive what you've done, you know. And I'm truly honored, and I thank you for the compliments. But you know what? Takes one to know one, brother.
I think that's why we all, that, you know, I don't call it a circle. I call it a dot. And I think that's why my dot is filled with the people that I truly relish, and you're one of them. I appreciate the compliments. You know, I know you probably can't do it in one statement, because you've done so much in this sport. But if you could just define or paraphrase an aspect to the people that follow you, the people that have stood by you, the people that have let you wrap their hands, if you could make a statement to them of thanks, because we don't often get that opportunity in life. If you could make that statement, generalized or however you may, what would that statement be, my brother?
Well, that's actually kind of easy for me. For the fighters, thank you. Thank you for trusting me with your future. You know, thank you for being you. Thank you for stepping out and doing what 99.9% of the population wouldn't do. And thank you for letting me be part of your future. To the coaches, thank you for trusting me with your kids. Thank you for trusting me with the ones that you've trained and brought into this sport so we can move them forward together. To the families, thank you for trusting me to take care of your family member, good or bad, win or lose. Thank you from the bottom of my heart to my family for supporting me through this endeavor. You know, this is something that I want to do till the moment I die. And they're so supportive, every last one of them. You know, Haley, my daughter, she's probably going to be my successor. You know, she's so smart and so spot on, it's ridiculous. But to everyone around me, if you like what I'm doing, anyone can do it. If you think that I'm a superhuman, I'm not. You just got to be willing to put yourself out there and do it. And if you can do that, you can do it.
Most definitely, brother. You know, it truly was an honor and very humbling for me to have you on the show tonight. We worked together, but it was the second time you came on. Like I said, I just felt like I had to give you a one-on-one interview, because, I'm just going to say it, before I bring Charles Rodriguez on. I like to help others, too. And, the other night I felt that I did my guest a little injustice. But at the same time, I think people understand that when you believe in somebody, you've got to give that opportunity and you got to see it through. It may not be the outcome you want in life, but the intent was still the intent. And I just feel going into the future, it'd be more relevant that I do my shows.
what they say, Don, is hindsight is 20/20. You gave somebody an opportunity and they stumbled. Okay, maybe they'll learn from it. Maybe they won't, but you gave them the opportunity and you should be proud of that.
And I am, that's just who we are in our walk. like I said, I was humbled that you joined the show, and I'm truly honored. I'm going to pass the mic to you one more time. If there's any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, Papa Bear.
Thanks, brother. Well, to all the fighters and everybody out there, just remember our motto at KC Neutral Corner, which is my company, is it's all about the fighters, because it is. Without the fighters, this whole thing wouldn't happen. I want to thank Title MMA for being a sponsor of mine, Eruption Fight Gear, Infamous Fightwear, stepping up, helping out. Jacob, Stitch, you're the man. I appreciate you very much. We will get some barbecue next time you're in KC. Everybody check us out on Facebook, all the events we work here in Kansas City. If you ever need connection to one fighter or another or promoter, I'd be more than happy to put you in contact. I can stay completely neutral. I do not get involved. Just remember that, Papa Bear loves you, and I will take care of you if you give me the chance. Thank you again, Don, for letting me on your show, brother. I do appreciate it.
Hey, the honor was all mine. I never do away with the links, so if you want to go back and listen to it later on tonight, you can. You already know this. I never delete them because I don't delete memories. I just want to keep giving them, and you gave me some tremendous memories tonight. On that note, I love you, brother.
I love you too, bro. You take care, okay?
All right. You too. God bless. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Harley Papa Bear Riddle. Felt we're a little close in life, but we're running a little behind. We're going to jump to the rock star, Charles Rodriguez. And you're going to know what I mean by rock star.
Hello.
Like I told my listeners, man, we had to start it out rock star style with a little bit of Sade.
Even when you call me, I have intro music.
Right? But, I'm going to take it a step further because, I'm going to play a little practical joke on you because, you truly have become a rock star, and you are getting a little larger than life. So I'm going to do something for a second. It's going to be kind of cheesy, but it fits the moment.
Ah, here he comes. He's so dope. Yes.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, man. Oh.
Blowing kisses, catching flowers, the usual.
Oh, yeah, dancing with the women, just
all that. That's what's up.
The house. hey, man, I had you back on a few shows ago, and I got to tell you, the notoriety that you're getting in the sport, the professionalism that you're showing in the ring, it's been tremendous. How is this ride feeling for Charles Rodriguez, especially just coming off a win, bro?
Man, it's crazy because we were just talking, and I just had a fight, and now I had just had another fight, and I have I'm back into training camp for the next fight, and things are just moving fast. But if you watch me fight, you know that's the way I live. Like I fight fast, I live fast. I just gotta keep the ball rolling.
Right. We still gotta get that sponsorship deal with Johnson & Johnson. You know.
Yeah, I will say I put up a great advertisement. From what I understand, their sales have skyrocketed since my baby oil video. They owe me some money.
Right. I'm gonna try to hook that up, man. Because one on one, you did them. You did them.
Some of the best advertising they've had in years.
Oh damn, bro! It killed me. You know, and the thing that I think I like most about you is you keep the two aspects separated. I mean, you're having a great time at being Charles Rodriguez, or Mr. Charles Rodriguez, I should say, the rock star.
Oh, thank you.
But when the bell rings, you know, you define yourself as the warrior that you trained to be. How hard is that in such a, you know, early stage of, you know, this rise to stardom? How hard is that for you to make that defining aspect, that flick the switch on, flick it off, bro?
Well, the easy part is definitely the fight. Like once I get in there and you got a guy swinging at you, it's easy to become the monster that you need to be to handle a situation. Like I with this fight in particular, I went in there to try to like feel the guy out a little bit, test the waters, and he threw some bombs on me. And then from that point, oh, everything just kind of took care of itself. He hit me pretty hard, and so I just went crazy from that point. And that's pretty much that's easy to do. That's my natural flow for things. The hard part is, or the hard part for some people is smiling afterwards. But I don't know. That's kind of how I handle things, anyways. I feel like this is just this is always just I was always made for this. I know it's difficult for some people because, you know, as an athlete, as a professional, you got to make sure you're engaging with your audience and being around people and making sure you're someone that people can relate to. And that's something I've always loved doing. And then being a fighter, being a martial artist, being driven and going blow for blow with somebody and going on all out war was something I always loved to do too. So this has been a pretty easy fit for me.
Yeah, it truly has been, you know. And man, I got to tell you, I troll the internet. I'm just gonna say it. You know, sometimes I'm going through my newsfeed because, well, a true journalist and a true fan of the sport is gonna look for up and coming talent. They're gonna look for fighters that are making their mark, that are, you know, truly creating what we love and what we watch. And you caught my attention one time, and I was like, this was so dope. And I still go back to the first
interview. Thank you.
Well, it's the truth, bro. I mean, I'll be honest. There's not very many fighters or inner workings that I haven't had on my show that have ever stumped me. And
yeah.
I'll go back to our first interview, and I said, Charles, how is it going to be for you to partake in Glory 52? He said, don't know, bro. Haven't been there yet.
Yes.
Just straight
simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, I was dumbfounded, you know, because here I've been doing this for about 13 and a half, 14 years, and on the radio, and been active in the sport for 22 years now. It was like, okay, either this dude's a smartass, or you know, he really is legit. And so I just sat back and I pondered that thought. And, you know, I had you back on the show, but prior to that, I had said, hey, man, since you fought in Glory now, can you come on and talk about it? Most definitely. And you came back on the show, and you talked about it. So you're one of them people that truly caught my attention. Then another paraphrase that you used that really kind of stymied me, bro, was I just had it and thought, I'm sorry, and then I go, oh, you said you're only as good as your next fight.
Absolutely.
And that freaking floored me, bro. I mean, I'll admit to you and my listeners that I spoke to several of my colleagues in this sport after that about you, and I was like, this kid freaking amazed me. And I was talking to Mark the Hammer Coleman, you know, a UFC.
Oh, man, the legend.
Yeah, and I told him, this kid told me that he's only as good as his next fight. And he was like, that's fucking dope. And I'll be honest with you, man.
That's a big honor for me.
Yeah. Well, what I'm getting at is, how is somebody so young in the sport, so young in life, so knowledgeable to even create that thought? Because here you got two, you know, people that have been in the sport since the beginning, and we hear this young and up and comer say a thought that is truly that profound that it even stymies us. What gives you that ability?
It's really just like my perspective. I understand that in order for me to get where I want to get, I can't settle for what I already got, you know? And so I just won, like, last time we had talked, I just won that glory fight. And then I just had a really, really satisfying victory with Triumphant, in Oakland. And those were great. They were great experiences. I love them. But if I'm like looking at the perspective of being as good as I can be and going as far as I can go, I can't hold on to those. I gotta, like, my focus is, I'm not as good. Like, I just fought and that happened, but my focus is on the next fight. And that's what I'm going to judge myself on. That's the metric I got to look at, is what am I going to grow into? What am I going to do tomorrow? What's the next fight going to be like? And that's what's not until I get to that point, that's what I'm going to be defining myself as.
Yeah, you know, in life I look at my grandfather as the key tool to who I am and what truly developed me into a man. You know, when you look at the life and the knowledge that you ascertain, who was it in your life that instilled that set core of values that defines who you are and the knowledge that you, you know, ascertain?
Oh, man, I had some hard-ass coaches coming up. My first coach ever, when I first started getting athletics, I was 12 years old. My stepdad, Will Hill, he was a merciless coach, and it was my first time even delving into, like, running a mile or doing, you know, 50 push-ups or anything like that. And at that time, everything seemed impossible. And, like, over a summer, things that I didn't understand and things I've never done before all of a sudden became attainable through him yelling at me over the voices in my head saying I can't do it, and him yelling at me saying I can do it. And then all of a sudden what became impossible became possible. And I feel like I've never, like, since that was like my introduction into athletics, that's always been my mindset is, okay, you can't do this now. Keep going and see what you could do till see what could happen if you keep going. See what happens tomorrow. See what happens to the next spot. Keep on going. Because even to this day, I have him in my voice. I have my Vallejo High wrestling coach, Mike Minahan, in my voice in my head still yelling at me to push harder, run faster, work harder, keep driving, keep fighting, and I just kind of never let those voices go.
You know, sometimes I like to get really, really off topic. You know this.
go right on it, sir. That's your show.
Well, you know, the Barbara Walters moniker just is going to step out for a moment.
Hit me with that. I'm ready to get some knowledge right now.
Yeah, no, but, you know, life is what truly defines us, and, you know, the way we're brought up, our characteristics are truly something that we're taught at home or we learn, you know, through our friends on the street. You know, when you go back to the young Charles Rodriguez and you look back now on that path, you know, how sufficed are you with life that you went this way, you took this path, and you have the intent that you have now? Looking back as a young person, what gave you the initiative to create this path?
You know what? It was I think it wasn't really an initiative, because I feel like it, like, always in my mind, the coolest thing in the world would to be is a fighter. Like, when watching Jean-Claude Van Damme and Bruce Lee growing up, like, that was always just the coolest thing. And at some point growing up and, like, just working out and, like, pushing myself, I stopped having reasons and excuses not to pursue it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you start your amateur career, you start your smokers, and you're like, let's see how far I can go with this. And then from that point, I just, like, I picked up momentum. I kept, and I got a lot of validation. I was around the right people, and I just, like, it wasn't more of me finding a reason to do it. It was me running out of reasons not to do it.
Yeah, I like that. You know, what does it mean for Charles Rodriguez to look at life and know that you're in a sport where you're the people you idolize and looked up to as a child can now be your opponents moving into the future?
Oh man, that's the craziest feeling in the world for me. It's 100% positive energy, man. It's so inspired. Like, you get to be something that you get to be around people who inspire you. You get to, like, and to step in the ring with people that you've seen fight before, and like, to be on to share a stage with, like, when I was in Glory, I was sharing a stage with Simon Marcus and Robin Van Hoosval and, like, amazing epic warriors. And I'm just like, it puts me in a perspective of, win or lose, I'm doing something amazing right now. I'm being around, you know, true talent. Like, I love watching people fight Sanchai, you know, the Muay Thai legend, because you could see them in there and they're like, I'm probably going to get my ass kicked. Like, this guy's got like 300 fights. He's like the pound for pound best Muay Thai fighter in the world. And they're just like, man, this is an honor enough just to be here. And like, I feel that so frequently now, like being on the big stage with so many people, being a part of such great promotions like Triumphant and Glory. And it's just something, it's just so much positive energy, man. It's just something that really stokes the fire and makes it so you just are infinitely appreciative of the experience.
Yeah, you know, it's very profound what you said. I didn't mean to choke up there. I was scrolling through something, bro, and I came across a picture of yours, and oh my God, bro.
That could, from that reaction, that could be any number of pictures.
Oh no, this was on a boat, bro. Showing the American spirit, the American pride with a Budweiser on your leg.
Oh, that's an iconic moment for me. Yes.
Yeah.
It was funny.
You know,
the first time I got the fight to represent America, I was fighting a WCK versus WLF. Fight in Vegas, and my family actually held up that picture for me in the crowd while I was like going out to represent my country. And that was, yeah, even walking out getting ready for like one of the biggest fights of my life, that had me laughing walking down the aisle. It was great.
And that's got to be a tremendous feeling, you know. But honestly, I think the persona was truly there before you stepped into this world.
I've been this for a long time.
and that, you know what, bro? That's the coolest part of it. It's you. You know, there's flash in your game, but you know, like I said earlier, you know, when it's time to handle business, you handle business, and you're on a mission in this sport. It's obvious, you know. You talk about the hard trainers that you've come up with. You talk about the aspect of the sport that truly makes you. But, you know, like my first guest, we talked about what really defines us as inner workings, because I had a cut man on before you that was just in Athens, Greece, and he's a tremendous friend of mine, and I like giving everybody equal opportunity. You know that. I look at
life
awesome.
Like that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
But there's something about this sport that, you know, defined you in your heart that one day you made this decision, I'm going to make a run for greatness. You know, whether it be a reason or for a person, what would you say that would be?
Man, it's just, for me, it's about self-discovery. Like, greatness is will be a cool thing to obtain. Of course, that's like the goal. That's what I'm shooting. My aim is up. But really, the way I see it is, I get to find how great I am. It's like, because everyone's got a little bit of greatness to them. Like, you know, to, like anyone who even steps into a smoker, anyone who even just starts training this, I feel like has some sort of, has a spark of greatness in them, has something that they should be proud of. So this is, for me, it's a win-win, because there's no lose to this. It's, I get to find out what I am. I get to find out where my ranking is. I get to find out my measure for when I, if I set my mind to something, what can I accomplish with it? So, you know, win or lose, I'm going to find out who I am. And that, getting the answer to that is, I mean, that's why we're living, right?
Yeah, it truly is. You know, so I'm going to take you to, let's go to your hotel room after an event. And everybody's gone. The lights are off. And, you know, there's no more people around. There's, you know, it's just Charles Rodriguez and the room. You know, and you sit back and you have that reflection into what just transpired. How do you truly take the knowledge away for that moment? Or how does it define you more and more each time that you truly do have those moments? You know, what is it that Charles Rodriguez reflects on when he's just by himself and he looks at what you just accomplished or what you have accomplished?
I actually did have that moment after this last fight. I stepped away, saw the doctor, signed my papers, did all that, and then I cut away to like the back of the stage and was just kind of by myself quietly. And I always have my dad's gloves with me. You know, as you know, my dad passed away when I was about a month old, and I'm just sitting there with my dad's gloves. You know, he was a fighter as well, and just getting to enjoy victory like that. Cause one of the reasons why I really got into this, one of the things that drew me into this, is I felt I was connecting with that part of me. I was connecting with the part of me that I share with my dad. So I kind of sit there and have a little quiet moment with him. Then I kind of just absorb the information. I get a reflect real quick, just let everything be quiet and still, and just let all the feelings and all the emotions just kind of wash over me, and swallow it in, then I go ahead and put back on my smile and go outside and party.
Yeah, you know, I think that statement right there is why you are the man you are. You know, I believe this is the fourth time I've had you on my show now, and each and every time, I mean, we joke around because you truly are a larger-than-life character.
But oh, I have fun. Yeah, for sure.
But you know, when you look at the warrior aspect, you're a true gladiator, and now to hear the meaning of why, you know, the intent is there, it comes 360 for me as a journalist, because I've been on the show with you every time because it's my show. But, you know,
yeah.
Listeners, you need to go back. I'll share some of the previous shows and show the growth of you. You know, now that you know you got another fight lined up, I know you can't talk about it because a lot of times that's just how the sport is. We may know about
it,
we can't talk about it, but it's happening. What does it feel like for you now, knowing that this progression is giving you what you want to see, or do you feel that your progression is giving you the definition that you want to see in yourself as a warrior, Charles?
I'm definitely seeing I'm getting the blurry picture of it right now. I'm definitely making something out. It's becoming more and more clear. But the thing is, as I was telling you when getting ready for the glory fight, I keep my head down a lot and my eyes closed and just keep focused on one thing at a time. Well, I'll have a time to reflect when I'm old and I can't do this no more. Right now, I'm just kind of keeping my eyes on the next fight, then the next fight, then the next fight, and then at some point when it all slows down, And I can't do this anymore, then I'm going to be able to really sit back and do like I do at the end of a fight and just really absorb it all. But you already know my eyes is already focused on the next fight, on the next opponent, on the next chance to grow, the next chance to display what I've been working on, another chance to find out who I am, to find myself if I can.
I love that, man, because, you know, I've got to be part of this growth and part of this journey with you, and it's been tremendous, man. I mean, I generally don't ask people to come to, you know, back on my show this much unless they're truly making a mark for themselves and doing it with, you know, humility and integrity, you know, and the showboating is just an essence of you, but what you do in the ring is devastating. You know, man, you know, I can't get that picture out of my head, homie. <I'm sorry. laughs> Oh, you know, hey, I'm only human, bro, and it's just like, you know, but what you've done in that aspect, you've shown the sport that you can come and you can have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
You can be anything you want to be. You can make this the best time of your life, but you don't have to have the Conor McGregor aspect of it. You've shown that you could put asses in the seat, build a tremendous fan base, and you don't have to be ignorant.
I try to be aware of all those things. Try to keep it all together. I don't know. I want to let people know. Like, I mean, like you said, you could do this, and you know, you could bring levity to it. You could have fun with it. You could enjoy it. This is something that you. Anyone who fights, you know, you could make the mad dog face at weigh-ins, or you could do this or that. If you're doing this though, you love it, and you're doing it. It makes you happy. So, I like to express that. I like people to see, like, hey, why are you always smiling on your poster? Like, because I'm on a poster. How awesome is that? Like, that's rad. Of course I'm happy. Of course I'm smiling when I'm on this poster. Of course I'm smiling at weigh-ins. I get to weigh in and, like, have got ring girls here. We got, like, pictures getting taken of us to make us feel like we're rock stars. Of course I'm happy. And, like, I feel like it would take me extra energy to try to hide that. So I'm like, nah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm not going to lie. I'm going to let people see that, yeah, this is something I love, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm gonna visibly enjoy it.
As you should. You got me dying, bro. You said rad. Takes me back to the day, man.
Super rad, bro. Shred-tastic.
Yeah, I'm the OG, and you're using terminology that I grew up with. It's kind of funny, man. You know, but you happen to be part of a movement in the state of California and a group of fighters that I've known since their infancy. You know, JT Donaldson.
Grandma's
Matt
boy.
Baker. Yeah, Matt Baker, Willie Whipple, Danny Ramirez. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah, all the homies.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just out in California. It's a state that is truly inundated with fighters. And, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of promotions, but there's 10 times more fighters. So how hard is it? I mean, well, it's obviously not hard for you, but do you think the rapport that you have and the way you conduct yourself in the sport has allowed you that many more ample opportunities over others because what you're doing is with humility, integrity, and that little bit of flair?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a part of it. It's funny because, things started picking up for me pretty quick. Like, even in like, smokers and in my amateur career, people were already, like, they remember my fights because, for one, I feel like as a fighter, when I'm in the ring, it is entertaining because I push a ridiculous pace. So you're never going to see a slow, boring fight come from me. So people enjoyed that. And then they remembered me because I was, you know, playing air guitar at the end of every fight or going, yeah, radical, doing something crazy because people just feeding off that energy. And, yeah, that's been a great part because promoters want to get a guy who's going to be reliable. You know, he's going to be professional. He's going to make weight. He's going to be in communication with them, do all those things. And they're going to want somebody who can sell tickets and that, their audience are going to want to see. And people, I mean, thankfully enough, they want to see me do crazy stuff and have too much fun. And for that, I feel like I'm a very lucky guy.
Yeah. Well, the sport's very lucky to have you. You know, I know Scott Kent, or Scott Zur, I know either one of you are listening to my show. You know, I would really love to see Charles Rodriguez on MTGP or on Lion Fights, you know.
I'm down for whatever.
Oh yeah, well yeah, I'm in direct contact with these gentlemen. I'm going to reach out to them and see what the hell I can do. I know they're listening because they always listen to my show because they bring a lot of people on here. But
if they're listening, please give me an opponent, give me a fight, throw me on. I don't fight enough. I need a busier year. I need more Muay Thai.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I think it would be a tremendous opportunity as, you know, the growth for that organization has now gone global with they can join with MTGP and a couple other organizations. And, you know, I think it would be a tremendous opportunity. You know, Charles, if you had to, I'm going to ask you kind of a little crazy question because you're that type of individual. But if you could put down a statement on a piece of paper, and this piece of paper is going to be put in a time capsule for future generations, you know, to open up and look back at history, what would that statement be from the rock star for the future?
I'm sending this out for the future to see my message to the future, huh? I think it would just, I have to keep it simple. Like, I was here and I rocked. That's a statement I'm trying to make every time I fight anyway. Like, I was here and I rocked.
Yeah, we can attach a picture of you on the boat with the Budweiser.
Exactly. I was like, you already know the picture we need to put with it.
Yeah. Bro,
that's
I'm
the
dying.
Proof right there. They're like, he was here and he did rock.
It's crazy because every show, you, I don't know, man. I could have you on once a week, bro. I'm just being honest with you. You know, I had a very serious interview earlier, but this is what's cool about my show is, you know, you can go on Joe Rogan, you can go on Ariel's show, which even Ariel has asked to be on my show, and I don't know why, but, you know.
Oh, wow.
This show is done for you guys. You know, I started this show for the fighters to give back to the sport that truly has made me. You know, do I believe I should be in the Hall of Fame? No. Do I believe that I deserve the accolades that I've gotten? No. Because how can you get that for something you love? You know, something that can't even be taken away from me now. You know, this sport, I'm going to quote the great Dan Mergliotta because that's who's told me first. He said, we don't decide when to leave this sport. The sport decides when you know, it's time, you know, for it to leave us. And I truly believe that. And I look at having individuals like yourself on my show, and, man, I walk away. You know, a lot of times fighters think they're the ones that are getting the greater aspect of this. But, Charles, I know you're a well-defined and knowledgeable man. Think about it. I interviewed 621 fighters last year.
Whew.
Okay, that's 621 interviews. That's quite a bit of knowledge that I'm able to pull, ascertain, and get and gain knowledge from. You know, now, mind you, I've had anyone from Daniel Cormier to whoever, you know, open up and share intimate moments of their life on my show. That's what this show is about. It's about showing who you are, not just on social media or what they see on video, but who you are in real life. So if somebody was to walk up on Charles Rodriguez as you were strolling down the street, what type of individual would they get and would they, you know, perceive?
Oh man, I'd be dancing to music that no one else could hear. Probably, that's normally what happens when someone's walking by. They're like, I don't hear any music, but he's shaking his hips and he's moonwalking. And what is going on with this guy? But that's me on my day to day. I'm just enjoying the hell out of life. I'm enjoying the hell out of this ride. I mean, like, and I just fought for Triumphant Four and won. Got to have a great victory against a very game opponent. So, like, everywhere I'm walking, I mean, like, I'm kind of limping because he kicked the hell out of my back leg, but it's a little bit of a strut, you know?
Yeah, you know, I feel you there because when you look at it, it's kind of crazy, but, you know, your last fight, like you said, it truly was a certain aspect, a defining aspect, a stepping stone forward. And you know, we take away, like I said earlier, we take away bits of knowledge of different places we've been and things we've, you know, put ourselves into. You know, I look at the growth of you, Charles, and it's been incredible. How much knowledge do you absorb from each fight? How much do you take away and go back and relive and change or add to your critique?
Oh, man, I've been, definitely had some knowledge shoved into my head for that last fight. My opponent, Jonathan Parsons, heavy hands. I think that's something I absorbed from him for sure. Very high IQ, one of the higher IQ fighters I've had in a while. I'm gonna go ahead and say he was like one of the biggest tests I've had. No disrespect to my last few opponents, but this guy had a high IQ, heavy hands, and also was way too ready to brawl with me, because that's usually my ace in the hole. I was like, okay, I'll try a little tit for tat, I'll try a little smoothness, and if all else fails, I'll just brawl. And that guy was with me every step of the way. Jonathan Parsons probably taught me more and got me more ready and helped me grow more in the way he tested me in that ring than people have in the past, like, in the past couple months, even the past year. I'm gonna say this was my favorite fight, so I took a lot from it. Just going ahead and enduring the ass whooping he threw at me.
Yeah, each and every time you step into the fight, man, it amazes me the ability that you keep getting. You know, I was just out in California for Bellator 199 and had a tremendous time out there. I couldn't stay away from the taco trucks. I actually gained 13. Bro, I gained 13 pounds.
Carry that 13 pounds of pride. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, it was thanks to In-N-Out Burger and the taco trucks. But how hard is it for you? Because I was just moments away from where you're physically at. How hard is it for you to stay away from that aspect of life? Because some of the best food in the country is right there where you're at. How hard is it for you to maintain that diet, that weight cut?
Oh, man, I haven't been staying away from anything in the past 3 days. I had Filipino food last night. I had Mexican food before that. I had a cheeseburger before. I've been trying to eat the whole world. I've been like, I'm getting Peruvian food tonight. I'm hitting every country before I get back into training camp, because I know once I do get back on my diet, it's going to be hell. One of the things is, I miss all the really good food, but I'm pretty grateful for, I could eat, I'm cool with brown rice and chicken breast and broccoli. You know, let's throw a little cheese on that. I'm pretty happy, but as long as I don't think about all the other stuff that I'm missing out on, it's not too bad. And then I just use it as motivation. I'm just like, I just pretend like there's a sandwich behind my opponent's head, and I just keep reaching for it, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
like there's a piece of cheesecake right behind his head. You just gotta snatch it from him.
Just gotta snatch it from him. You know, every fight is almost like a movie from you. You know, every picture that is taken from every one of your outings has truly, you know, orchestrated the warrior, the gladiator that you are. If you had to make a statement, even though I know you can't name the next fighter, if you had to make a statement for your fans on, you know, what the rock star is going to bring to this next one, I mean, because...
I could name him if you don't mind.
Oh, you go right ahead.
I'm ready to drop the information. I got a heated rivalry between another very, very talented athlete. His name is Troy Jones, coming out of Minnesota. Now, Troy Jones is a two-time gold medalist through the IFMA, so he's fought internationally. He's been taking scalps. He's a bad dude. This is going to be my toughest opponent yet, and he wants my WBC national title, and it all feels like an awesome 80s movie, and I'm Van Damme, and he's like Tong Po, and he's coming after me, and he's going to like paralyze my brother before we fight or something, and we're definitely going to end up fighting in the rain on the rooftop somewhere, and I can't be more excited for it. And, like, it's going to – the fight's going to happen in the middle of July, so I'll feel like it's a summer blockbuster. I'm going to start a commercial for it. And, like, coming soon, this summer, the rock star versus Troy Trouble Jones. Who will be undefeated? Who will be the true champion? Who wants it more? Blood will be spilled. Hearts will be broken. Bones will shatter. I'm pretty excited about it. Coming this summer. Yeah.
You know, oh, my God, dude. I just... Like I said, I might as well have you as a mutual host because I don't think there's enough time to tell your story because it's just like, holy shit. Man, you got me dying, man. You know, it's funny, though, because, I mean, you're animated. You love it. And it makes for a great show. But, you know, this fight, your rival that you're getting ready to fight, you know, what... God, man, you know, I don't know how you're going to take this because it's kind of a weird question, but, you know, I don't know what is better, your striking or your knees or your kicks. You know, I look at every fight, and each fight has truly defined you in a different aspect. When is the sport going to get to see the full 360 of you in the ring? Because, I mean, you know, some fights you're devastating with the knee. Others, you're striking. It's just on point. But I don't think everybody's seen the full 360 of you yet, bro.
Well, see, that's the question right there, Don. That's the question that I also have. When am I going to get to – when do I get to use this? When do I get to do that? When do I get to be the full me? And that's why – that's one of the things that keeps me so motivated about this fight game is every fight you're just getting a glimpse. And I spend – hours in the gym. I spend my whole day in the gym. I spend my whole week in the gym crafting my weapons and sharpening my tools, and then I only get 15 minutes to display them. And depending on the opponent, I only get to use so many tools because I'm not going to use a tool that doesn't fit in that situation. So each situation, I get to use a small part of my artillery. And as people are like sitting there wondering, oh man, I wonder what else he can do. I'm sitting there wondering that as well. So the more situations I get put in, the more opponents I get, the more I get to see what I'm capable of. And that's what keeps me excited. Because this guy, Johnny Parsons, that I just fought, he was a southpaw with really good footwork, really good head movement. And that made me have to use a certain skill set that I used that I wasn't able to use in Glory. So I got to use a whole bunch of tools. And that was really fun for me. So I got to like do a little more kicks. I got to like work my clinch, which he was really good at avoiding. So like I had to adjust my game plan and that, and I got to see certain sides of me that I hadn't got to use in a while, all right, and some new tricks I hadn't been able, it wasn't appropriate to use yet, but I got to use them then, and it was a blast. I was like, all right, I got to play with this new toy. I finally get to use this weapon I've been working on in the shop for hours. And when I fight Troy in July, oh man, this guy's going to bring out the best in me. Like, this is going to be like, oh, the emotions are high. We've been talking crap to each other online. He thinks I don't deserve this belt. I think he doesn't deserve my time. It's going to be great. We're going to have five rounds together, and we're going to be able to make some statements. I got to try it. Like, he's going to be, from my understanding, I could pretty confidently say he's going to be my toughest opponent yet. Like, with his experience, with his weapons, with his skills, he's going to push me, and I'm going to have to pull out some, like, I know he's well knowledge on me. We fought on Glory together. We both came out victorious. We both got to see each other in person. We're both staring daggers at each other while we're in the ring, taking note on each other. So I'm going to have to use – I can't give him the same look that he saw in Glory. I'm going to have to use new tools. I got to sharpen up some new tricks, and I get to be a new Charles in July. I got to use a whole new skill set. I got new toys to play with. So this is going to be that question of – when do they get to see 360? That's the one that keeps me training. It's like, when do I get to use 360? When do I get to use the full scope of my abilities, of all my weapons, of all my skills? And let's find out what happens in July, you know?
Yeah, we'll have you on before that fight anyway. But, you know, you ought to make your walkout song, you know, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my edge. Get up in that brother's head, man. Get up in his head, man. Make him go, oh, what the fuck am I getting into?
Right?
It's crazy, man. You know, Charles, it's always tremendous to have you on the show, and it's a blast because you truly are an open book. I mean, you can't really categorize you. You know, this fight is most, like you said, most predominantly going to be a main stepping stone for you moving forward. You know, I will push out to Lion fights because I think there's an aspect of you that the world needs to see, and I think it needs to be.
Oh, I'd love to be there. It'd be a huge pleasure of mine to be a part of that.
Yeah, they're great people, and it's a great organization, and I think you'd be right at home there. You know, like I said, it's always an honor for me to have you on, and, you know, I'm going to give you the opportunity, like I do many guests, and then we'll jump to your sponsors in a second. But, you know, I think in life it's always great to be able to thank people that have, you know, stood by us, got us to where we're at in life, or just even reached out one day or whatever it may be. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to say to your fans, to your followers, to those people that truly mean something to you in life, how thankful Charles Rodriguez truly is to have the people that he does. The floor is yours,
man. Oh, man. Thank you. Well, first of course, I have big thanks to you, Don, for having me on your show again. Always have a good time talking with you. I want to thank your fan base for enjoying me so much enough that I get to be on the show again. Like, the more times I'm on here, the more fun I get to have. So very appreciative to you guys. Thank you so much. Always, I got to thank my team, Team Tatsui, coming out of Combat Fitness in Concord. You know, we're a little gym just tucked away, and we have a lot of talent there, a lot of happy people, and man, it's just home for me, and I wouldn't be where I am if I didn't have you know, my coaches, Miss Angel Fortes, beat me up every day. I got to give a shout out to my coach Julian Bowers, his liver, because I've been throwing that knee into his body for the past month. My coach Eric Hofstein's forehead, because that's what I've been elbowing all month, and he takes it like a champ. George Tatsui, the legend himself, always guiding me, always pointing me in the right direction. It's so many people. I'm a ocean that comes from many rivers, and I got a lot of knowledge coming my way. And I definitely couldn't do what I do if it wasn't for them. I got to, of course, thank my family. My mom is one of my biggest supporters, always helping me out, always believing in me. My sponsors, my boy Samer over at Cali Borden Dreams, taking care of me, always been a big supporter of my team and myself. Samer with his CBD products has always just always had my back. He's been a true brother to me throughout these past couple camps, and really been stepping up and making sure I could do what I do and chase my dream. Of course, like, you know, people always see me wearing most people know that I'm a huge Dragon Ball Z nerd, and they'll see me wearing my Dragon Ball Z gear from Just Saying. Always got to thank my clothing sponsor there. And, I think I definitely got to just give a special shout out to Jean-Claude Van Damme, too, for always showing me the way.
Right. You know,
I had to watch Kickboxer 8 times to get ready for this last fight. So thanks JCVD.
Oh, I give Joe Danny Stevenson such a bad time, man. I said, you know, who am I talking to today, Joe Stevenson or Ralph Macchio? Because it's Cobra Kai. You know, it's like, you know, this sport has a way of humbling you, and some of the greatest legends in the world that I've had the opportunity to meet, but honestly, none have humbled me, or have I had more of an enjoyable show than I do when I have you on, Charles. I'm not kissing your ass, I'm just telling you.
That is a huge compliment. Thank you very much, sir. I love coming here, too.
Yeah, it's always a blast, you know. Now, one more thing before I let you go, bro. Where can my listeners and your fans find you on social media?
Oh, I always forget that part. You can find me on Facebook, Charles the Rockstar Rodriguez. I'm on Instagram as Agent Tornado, Special Agent Tornado. I'm on Twitter as under Rockstarish. And I think that's it. Yeah, that's all my social media.
Yeah, and I think if you just type Mr. Charles or Mr. Rodriguez in, and it'll pull you up to his pages too. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I found that out earlier today. That kind of had me rolling. You know, bro, it always is a pleasure to have you on. I think what you're doing for the sport is tremendous. I love the persona. It truly is who you are. And as long as you're having fun, man, keep living the dream, brother. On that note, God bless you, and thank you for joining the show.
Bless you, Don. Thank you very much, my brother.
All right, you too. Have a good evening, man. Peace out. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Charles the Rockstar Rodriguez. I'm telling you, man, watch this cat. I mean, yeah, he has a persona. He's larger than life, but when it comes, when that bell rings, it's go time. And Scott Zur, Scott Kent, or any other promotion out there for what that's, you know, worth, you really need to check this kid out. I think it's the fourth time in a year I've had him on my show. He's on a tremendous run, and he's truly creating devastation. It was in Glory 52. If you need a reference, go check it out. You'll see what I see. On that note, I want to thank all my sponsors, Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, much love, man. Alfred and Freddie from the 86ers.net. Man, wouldn't be here. BiteMeMouthGuards.com with Joe Rice and the infamous Jacob Sicharan and Juan Ramirez with Cutman for Hire. Truly honored and blessed to have such tremendous sponsors. On that note, to each and every one of you, have a good night. God bless. I'm going to leave us a little bit of El Dorado Jones, a gentleman I had on my music show. Good night. God bless.
Yeah. This my 95 Capri flow. Who's gonna be the police though? Say he don't know who I am, I bet his fine ass niece know. This beat goes so evil, like people eating people. Got me sitting with a stone face, like a gargoyle on a steeple. Going hard, that's Mando, type of action that I plan for. Tattoo what I stand for, like man, look at my hands, yo. Don't call, tryna waste time, talk loud on my FaceTime. I rock a ship for a baseline, like Elijah Wan from the baseline. Everybody wanna die about it till the shit get diabolical. Manslaughter turn violence.